Welcome to today's deep dive. It is fantastic to have you with us.
Really glad you're joining us for this one.
Because today we have a mission that, well, it feels like it's pulled straight from a sci-fi thriller, but it is actually the literal reality of the tech world right now.
It really is. I mean, it's happening as we speak.
We are unpacking the incredibly complex collision between social well-being ethics and the actual literal code being written for artificial intelligence. We are talking about the theoretical and practical hurdles of utilitarianism.
Right, because the goal here is to figure out how engineers are attempting to take a totally abstract, fluid, philosophical concept like human happiness or societal good and hard code it into a machine's decision-making matrix.
And we are going to explore why forcing a machine to calculate human worth might lead to some deeply uncomfortable realities for all of us.
When you look at how Silicon Valley approaches these massive societal problems, you see this immense friction. We are talking about bridging thousands of years of ethical philosophy with the sterile binary realities of machine learning.
Yeah, you can't exactly feed an algorithm a vague sense of human intuition.
No, not at all. It requires a hard mathematical framework to function. It needs a cost function.
So to set the stage for you, let's jump straight into the classic dilemma that engineers are grappling with right now. Imagine you are standing on a sidewalk watching a driverless car cruising down the street.
Okay, picture that.
Suddenly, the vehicle's telemetry systems detect a catastrophic brake failure. The car calculates that a crash is completely unavoidable, and it has a fraction of a millisecond to make a targeting choice.
Which is a terrifying scenario.
Absolutely. How does it decide whose life is more valuable? Does it swerve into a concrete barrier, potentially killing the single passenger to save five pedestrians? Does it scan the pedestrians and prioritize the young over the old?
To even begin programming a machine to answer that question, developers have to define and calculate human suffering. They have to decide what constitutes a good outcome and what constitutes a bad outcome, and then assign numerical weights to those states. A machine learning model operates on optimization. It looks at the parameters, calculates the probabilities, and executes the action that yields the highest score.
Which brings us to the dominant framework engineers lean heavily on. That's social well-being ethics, universally known as consequentialism or utilitarianism.
Right, the classic utilitarian approach.
For those brushing up on their philosophy, the core argument here is astonishingly simple on paper. The morally right action is simply the one that creates the most overall happiness or the least overall suffering when absolutely everyone in the blast radius is taken into account.
And the appeal of this framework for the technology sector cannot be overstated. It promises a clean, mathematical way to solve incredibly messy, ambiguous, real-world problems.
Because traditional ethics are bogged down by competing duties.
Exactly. Duties, cultural nuances, subjective moral lines that you simply cannot cross. Consequentialism strips all that away and says, simply look at the final score.
It provides an objective-sounding formula.
Maximize the positive aggregate output. Minimize the negative aggregate output. It's essentially an accounting exercise.
Let's apply that accounting exercise directly to our driverless car scenario.
Okay, let's look at the math.
If that autonomous vehicle must make a fatal decision, a strictly consequentialist logic board provides a programmed definitive solution.
It tells the algorithm to rank the human lives involved hierarchically based on their net happiness value or their utility to society.
So the algorithm sacrifices one individual so that the others may live, because the only metric that matters is the overall outcome for society at large.
Consider the actual metrics used to do this. This isn't just theory. We have models for this in other fields right now. Take healthcare economics, which uses QALYs.
Quality-adjusted life years.
Right. A QAY assigns a numerical value between 0 and 1 to a year of life, based on the quality of health a person is expected to experience.
So if a triage algorithm is deciding who gets a ventilator,
it might calculate that a healthy 20-year-old has 50 QALYs remaining, while an 80-year-old has 5. The math dictates the 20-year-old gets the ventilator.
Bring that back to the car.
The vision system identifies the ages and perhaps even the physical health of the pedestrians, queries a database of actuarial tables, computes the potential QALYs of everyone involved, and executes the maneuver that destroys the fewest total future years of high-quality human life.
It is breathtakingly efficient. It takes a terrifying, chaotic, highly emotional emergency and neutralizes it into an arithmetic problem.
It looks at the board, tallies the potential value, and makes the move.
But wait, if utilitarianism is just about maximizing this abstract concept of happiness or utility, how does a programmer even begin to assign a numerical value to the full spectrum of human joy and suffering?
That is the exact wall the developers hit. This is the first major objection to the consequentialist approach.
The practical impossibility of quantifying the unquantifiable.
Exactly. How do you actually assign a hard universal number to human experience without destroying the very nature of that experience?
Think about monetizing happiness as an analogy. We might be able to calculate the happiness of a cup of coffee based on a simple market transaction.
Right. If you're willing to pay $4 for that latte every morning, an algorithm can assign it a baseline utility value.
It's $4 worth of joy.
But how do you monetize a conversation with an old friend? How do you put a numerical algorithmic price on the love you have for your family?
You can't.
Any attempt to put a price tag on love results in a fundamentally broken model of what love actually is. The mathematical theory assumes that all human beings have similar kinds of internal experiences.
That it's possible to map your happiness directly against my happiness on the same standardized scale.
But human neurobiology and psychology are wildly diverse. We experience joy, suffering, meaning, and trauma in completely different, highly subjective ways that defy standardization.
Let's look at how this practical measurement problem plays out in the wild right now. Think about the proxy metrics driving emotion AI and the algorithms behind major social media platforms like Facebook and Instagram.
The toxicity there is well documented, especially for teenage girls struggling with body image.
Right. The algorithm governing your feed is designed to maximize a metric that it equates with user satisfaction, algorithmic happiness.
But it can't measure your actual dopamine level.
So it relies on proxies like engagement. It counts the minutes you spend looking at the screen.
And that exposes a massive systemic failure in logic. An engagement algorithm logs 20 minutes of continuous scrolling as a massive success.
It registers those 20 minutes as a high-value positive output.
But it completely fails to distinguish between 20 minutes of genuine, fulfilling connection with your peers and 20 minutes of toxic comparison that leaves the user feeling hollow.
The doom scrolling dilemma perfectly encapsulates this. We all know the feeling of falling down a rabbit hole of negative news or unrealistic, heavily filtered images.
You spend 20 minutes doing it, but you feel awful afterward.
To the consequentialist algorithm, that session was a roaring success because the engagement number went up. But how do we assign a numerical value to the internal anxiety that scrolling caused?
You can't. If you try to assign a universal value to 15 minutes of scrolling, the math falls apart.
Because of that human diversity you mentioned earlier.
Exactly. For one user, they might be looking at woodworking videos, finding it mildly entertaining and educational.
That registers as a net positive. Let's call it 15 units of happiness.
But for a teenage user struggling with body image, those same 15 minutes spent looking at impossible beauty standards might generate 15 units of intense anxiety or depressive thoughts.
It's the exact same action, the exact same amount of time spent on the platform.
The exact same behavioral output from the perspective of the machine's sensors.
But it produces completely opposite internal emotional experiences.
Which means you cannot simply tally up happiness and sadness across a user base. The inputs are too subjective.
What counts as a positive state for you and what counts as a negative state for me are separated by a gulf that no universal equation can cross.
So while consequentialism seems like an elegant way to program a machine from a top-down theoretical perspective, it becomes functionally unworkable on an individual level.
Because human emotion is not a fungible, standardized unit of measurement.
That's the practical objection.
But let's play devil's advocate for a moment. Let's imagine a future where Silicon Valley actually solves the measurement problem.
Okay, let's say they do.
Imagine they invent some kind of biometric sensor, a neural lace, or an advanced smartwatch that can perfectly, objectively calculate everyone's internal emotional state and their net societal value with zero margin of error.
That leads us directly into the second, much darker objection.
The repugnant conclusion.
Yes. Even if the math worked flawlessly and the algorithm could accurately measure human utility, we are forced to confront the visceral horror of algorithmic bias and the sheer quantification of human value.
This is where we have to look at the actual real-world outcomes of a system that ranks human lives hierarchically.
If we fully accept the consequentialist premise that lives should be evaluated purely by their net utility or happiness value, the algorithm is going to execute choices that cross massive moral red lines.
Look at the harsh reality of how a perfectly logical, consequentialist algorithm processes disability or lifestyle choices.
If that driverless car is evaluating pedestrians based purely on their overall capacity for future happiness and their projected economic or societal output, the math gets incredibly dark.
The algorithm might calculate that a person in a wheelchair inherently holds a lower utility value
because of statistical averages regarding medical costs or perceived limitations on their physical output.
Under that strict mathematical logic, the algorithm decides the person in the wheelchair should be the one targeted in the unavoidable crash
in order to spare a pedestrian who statistically requires fewer societal resources.
Take it a step further. It might calculate that a person who smokes has a statistically shorter lifespan.
Because they have fewer anticipated years left to live, they have a lower aggregate capacity to experience future happiness.
Therefore, the smoker is mathematically the optimal target to be sacrificed to save a non-smoker.
It is incredibly chilling to hear it laid out like that, because it's not a glitch in the code.
It is the code working exactly as intended.
You are programming a multi-ton vehicle to intentionally strike someone specifically because they are in a wheelchair, or specifically because they have a nicotine addiction.
It strips away all pretense of inherent human rights.
When you rank lives hierarchically based on utility, you are building an automated system of discrimination.
You are mathematically deciding that certain traits, certain health conditions, or certain ages make a human being fundamentally less valuable than another.
For many ethicists, and for much of the general public, treating a human life as a variable in a cost-benefit analysis is so fundamentally degrading that the entire utilitarian framework must be discarded.
If we threw out consequentialism because the hierarchical ranking is too horrific to stomach, what is the alternative for our engineers?
Right, we still have to program the car.
If we refuse to measure human worth, how do we program the car to make a choice? This brings us to the competing framework, dignity ethics.
Dignity ethics is the philosophical polar opposite of consequentialism,
where consequentialism is obsessed with the final outcome and the aggregate score.
Dignity ethics focuses entirely on the inherent, unalterable nature of the individual. It argues that a human being is not a means to an end.
Human value cannot be quantified, it cannot be monetized, and crucially, it cannot be compared.
Every single human life possesses an absolute infinite and equal worth simply by virtue of being human.
If every life is infinite and unquantifiable, how does dignity ethics handle our driverless car crash? Let's put the car back on the street.
Okay.
The brakes fail. The car must choose between swerving left to hit pedestrian A or swerving right to hit pedestrian B.
It cannot weigh their value because their value is infinite.
What is the algorithmic output?
The only morally permissible output under dignity ethics is a random number generator. It flips a coin.
Wait, really? A coin flip.
A literal coin flip.
That feels like a complete abdication of responsibility. You have millions of dollars of advanced sensors, LiDAR, and supercomputers, and the ultimate moral decision comes down to a digital coin flip.
It sounds shocking, but follow the logic of the framework. If you genuinely believe you cannot measure or compare human worth, then making a calculated, deliberate choice to kill one specific person over another is the ultimate violation of their inherent dignity.
Because you are essentially playing God.
Exactly. You're declaring one infinite value greater than another infinite value, which is mathematically and morally impossible in this framework.
The only way to respect their equal dignity in a forced choice scenario of unavoidable death is to subject them equally to random chance.
That is a massive pill to swallow. Let's push that to the absolute extreme to test it.
The car's brakes fail. Swerve left, and you hit a 95-year-old man who has lived a massive full life and is nearing the end of his natural lifespan.
Okay.
Swerve right, and you hit a 6-month-old baby being pushed in a stroller.
Utilitarianism doesn't even blink. It calculates the decades of potential life and happiness the baby has left, and it sacrifices the 95-year-old.
It feels instinctively right to most people to protect the child, but dignity ethics says you cannot make that calculation.
Dignity ethics says absolutely not. The moment you say the baby's life is worth more because they have more time left, you have assigned a quantifiable value to human existence.
You have reduced that 95-year-old man to a depreciating asset.
To maintain the principle that human life is sacred and immeasurable, the algorithm must treat the 95-year-old and the baby as completely equal entities. It must flip the coin.
I have to admit, both of these options leave you feeling incredibly uneasy.
It perfectly illustrates why this is such a monumental challenge for developers. You are forced into a corner.
On one hand, consequentialism feels cold, ruthless, and inherently discriminatory. It literally sacrifices the vulnerable, the sick, or the elderly for the greater mathematical good.
But on the other hand, dignity ethics feels almost terrifyingly passive.
Flipping a coin when every human instinct screams at you to grab the wheel and save the baby feels deeply unnatural.
That tension is why these are defined as competing ethical goods. You cannot synthesize them.
You cannot have a system that respects absolute, unquantifiable human dignity while simultaneously trying to mathematically maximize the survival rate of the group.
As a society, and specifically as the engineers writing the architecture of the future, a hard choice has to be made about which foundational logic will govern our automated world.
This has been an incredibly rigorous journey through these concepts. We started by looking at the allure of social well-being ethics.
The promise that we could build a clean, objective algorithm to optimize human happiness and minimize suffering through sheer mathematics.
We then explored the immediate practical failures of that approach.
We saw how attempting to quantify subjective experiences, like the psychological toll of doom scrolling, reveals that human emotion isn't a standardized metric you can simply plug into a database.
The math breaks because human beings are too diverse.
And then we confronted the absolute darkest corners of what happens if that math actually succeeds.
We looked at the grim reality of algorithmic bias, where a machine actively chooses to sacrifice someone because they're in a wheelchair or because they smoke, prioritizing aggregate utility over individual rights.
Finally, we examined the extreme demands of dignity ethics,
which requires us to treat every life as so radically equal and immeasurable that we have to surrender life or death outcomes to random chance rather than make a calculation.
The urgency of this discussion cannot be overstated. We are not debating hypotheticals in a vacuum.
These are the literal practical frameworks being fiercely debated and coded in boardrooms and laboratories today.
The algorithms that govern automated medical triage, the optimization functions driving massive social media networks, and the targeting systems of autonomous vehicles are all currently operating on variations of these ethical assumptions.
They are defining the value of your life in lines of code right now, which leaves us with a profound final thought for you to grapple with.
We've talked a lot about top-down programming, what the engineers decide for the masses.
But imagine a very near future where the technology allows for personalized ethical settings. Imagine you buy a new autonomous vehicle, and during the setup process, a slider appears on the dashboard.
You can manually adjust the ethical framework of your own car.
Do you slide it all the way to self-preservation, explicitly instructing the car to protect you and your family inside the cabin at absolutely all costs, even if it means plowing into a crowd of pedestrians?
Or do you slide it toward the greater good, knowing the car might drive you off a bridge to save a school bus?
And perhaps the most terrifying question of all, should the government ever allow you to have access to that slider? Or must a universal moral code be forced upon every driver by law?
It is the ultimate collision of personal autonomy, societal well-being, and algorithmic enforcement. And how we answer that will define the next century of human infrastructure.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We hope it gave you something incredible to think about today.